All right, we're dealing with the subject, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Who remembers when they went to school, the three R's? Reading, writing, and arithmetic. Okay, reading, writing, arithmetic. But what we're going to do today is we're going to do the three R's on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, why I'm sharing this, I've tried to bring this down to something really, really simple. So whatever happens here today, you can take these three R's away with you. Because all of us want to engage with the presence of Jesus Christ. We really do. We really do. It's not just something we experience when we come to church on Sunday and say, that was just beautiful. We are candidates for the Holy Spirit to move through us at any time and in any way, if we're listening and if we're willing to be moved by the Holy Spirit. There's a classic scripture which we'll read in a few moments from Acts 1 and 2 about the Holy Spirit coming. But the first R and the second R and the third R, I just want to give you a little hint, a little foretaste of what is to come. Remember I said I want to keep this simple. The first R is relax and don't put yourself under pressure. We're talking about receiving the presence of God. Relax and don't put yourself under pressure. And we'll explain that in a moment. The second R is receive by faith. Receive by faith. Beautiful that Farr mentioned that at communion, how we celebrate all that Christ has done for us. How do we do that? By faith. The third thing is respond. This is what we do. Very important. We can often say, well, I've received something by faith, but we never respond. We never take the next step. So respond is to what you do. In Acts chapter 1, it talks of how Jesus Christ appeared to the disciples. This was after he'd been raised from the dead. And he said to them these famous words, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then down further in verse 8, Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth." The result of that wonderful promise that Jesus spoke over them is in Acts 2, when the room that they were sitting in was filled with a violent rushing wind that filled the whole house. There were tongues of fire that rested on each of them. And verse 4 says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them or as the Spirit gave them the words. Very important. We'll go back over that again in a few moments. Relax, receive, and respond. And Jesus said, you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit. This word power is kind of a very interesting word. There's a Greek word which is exousia, and oftentimes when we read the word power or authority in the Bible, it seems to sound like all the same, one and the same word. For example, in John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power or the right or the privilege, sometimes translated the authority, to be called sons and daughters of the living God. Now that's one word, that's exousia, which is used for authority, the right and the privilege. Every one of us who have received Jesus Christ have been given that right, the privilege to be called sons and daughters of the living God. Do you agree with me? Amen. Amen. Isn't it wonderful that we've been given the privilege, the authority, the power to be called the sons and daughters of the living God? But when Jesus refers to this word power in Acts chapter 1, he's referring to a different kind of power. I'm going to illustrate it to you. In my early days in our little church in Bendigo, at the back of the property, there was a massive pepper tree. We decided that we'd build a new little chapel. The church didn't, where we gathered, we didn't actually have a legitimate building chapel, except the downstairs room. So the tree had to go. And I thought, well, I'd try and dig it out. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a massive pepper tree. This was just meters and meters and meters wide. It was huge. And after weeks and weeks of digging away, it was just crazy. We weren't just having any impact at all. Finally, one day, this young man by the name of Eric Pollock arrived with his ute and a box on the back of the ute. And Eric said, I've come to remove the tree. And I said, well, how are we going to remove it? Eric said, I've got a box of gelignite. So I thought, oh, wow, I didn't know anything about gelignite, but I thought, oh, cool. Then Eric said to me, how many do you think we need to blow it out? How many do I think we need to blow it out? Suddenly I realized he wasn't an expert with gelignite, but he knew how it worked. So I thought, oh, I don't know. So I said, well, maybe one. So what we did was we bored a huge hole in the size of the tree, packed in the gelignite, got a great big double bed mattress and its frame and hessian and other things and put it against the tree, lit the fuse and ran and hid behind the building. After a few seconds, there was a quiet pop. I thought, oh, that was terrible. So Eric said to me, how many do you think we need now? And I said, oh, maybe five. He said, oh, no, I don't think we should go that far. I'm glad he said that. He said, what about three? I said, oh, three sounds pretty reasonable. So he bought a bigger hole, packed it in, put the mattress back in place, lit the fuse, and ran. Well, the next thing that happened was this almighty explosion that took place. There's a mega cloud of dust went up. Rocks went flying over the two-story manse, including the double-bed mattress that went flying over the roof as well, followed by a great sheet of hessian. And then it rained great boulders and stones, and they clattered down the roof and our neighbors' roofs. And when the dust settled, there was a huge crater, and the tree had been blown to absolutely smithereens. And the neighbor next door put his head over the fence when it was all over and said, my greyhounds are racing tonight. You've scared them. I could see the funny side when the starter's gun went off. They probably went like a rocket. But that's beside the point. Now, I'll never forget that moment because I saw a demonstration of power that was completely outside of my control. Now, it's interesting that the Greek word for power that Jesus is using here, you receive power, is actually dunamis, from which we get dynamite. That's rather interesting, isn't it? And I deliberately tried to simplify it down. That gelignite or that blast did something we could not do. It's interesting, when the man was lowered down through the roof as Jesus was teaching and preaching and ministering, it's a beautiful thing that's mentioned here. As the man is lowered down through the roof, the Bible says that the presence or the power of the Lord was present to heal. Jesus tapped into the presence of the Holy Spirit manifesting himself, that he was able to heal the sick, because he was simply sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So what does it mean now to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and how do we start on that journey? Some of us already have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you know what it is to be able to pray in that heavenly language. You know how it is to just worship God with your spirit. Your understanding kind of just switches off, and you know that as you speak words that no one understands and you don't understand, how be it your spirit is communing with God and you're worshiping God and you're speaking mysteries to him. That's what the Bible says. You're speaking mysteries to him. And you're having that personal interflow of your spirit just being released, and the Holy Spirit is saying things that you cannot utter or say, but that wonderful communion is going on between you and the Lord. But for those of you who have not experienced this and thought, well, this sounds all a little strange, then I want to help you come to that place. And for those of you who have been feeling a little dry and perhaps haven't just really allowed yourself to worship God, allow yourself to just let go and worship Him, then I want you, first of all, number one, the first R is I want you to relax. Just relax. You know, sometimes as Pentecostals, we are strong on the emotion, aren't we? I love it. I love the fact that we can demonstrate by lifting hands. And, you know, if you watch me, sometimes I'm moving away. I love to move and enjoy the presence of God and raise my hands and perhaps have a bit of a jump and a hop and whatever. And that's all great and that's all good. But I want to say to you this morning, for you, and this is not just for today, but outside as well, to relax in the presence of God. Sometimes we are so time poor that we rush things. I can remember once in my bedroom, I was waiting on God, but I was waiting on God in the usual Pentecostal way. Father, I thank you for Pastor David. I thank you for Rochelle. I thank you for the blessing on the church. Bless this and bless that and do that and whatever. And marching backwards and forwards up and down in the bedroom, and finally I heard this still quiet voice saying, shut up. Oh my goodness. Shut up. So what I did was I just knelt down beside the bed and said, sorry God, sorry. Oh my son, be still. Just be still. Just be still. Just allow me some of your time to come to you. And allow me now to speak into your spirit. Allow me then to help you the kind of prayers that you really need to pray and get out of you. Don't be mechanical, because this is a loving relationship between you and me. How lovely it is in Psalm 23, where we say it so many times, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He He leads me beside still waters, not 12-foot dumpers, still waters, and He makes me. You know, that's the first thing that God does to us after leading us into a place of stillness. He actually says, sit down, lie down. I think there's a wonderful correlation between that and Acts. When the Holy Spirit came bursting in on the room, they were all sitting down in the room. Somehow or other, just seated there. And I'm not saying that's the only way you can sense the presence of God. But they had learned to still themselves. Somehow or other, for us, in our walk with the Lord, we need to just kind of just chill out and relax and ready ourselves for the next thing, and that is to receive what God has to give to us. I remember taking a call, actually a phone call, to go to the hospital. My daughter rang me and Shane was away at the time, and she said, Dad, you need to come down to the hospital because Ethan has cut his head rather badly and it needs to be stitched and we just can't do anything with him. So when I got there, the dear little boy had a nasty cut in his head and he was sobbing and crying and wouldn't let any of the doctors near him. So I got to hold him and tried to quieten him down, but whenever the doctor came near and was trying to prepare him to, first of all, get some injections in his scalp to numb the area, and he just froze up. He was terrified. So then the doctor had a brilliant idea. He said, look, nurse, would you bring out the mask? And the mask, of course, is the happy gas. So he didn't want to have anything to do with it, so the doctor just said, look, this is fun. So he put it over his face and went, oh, this is wonderful. It's just so good. It'll help you feel good. Why don't you play with it? So Ethan picks this little mask up and holds it to his face and goes, and then I'll never forget what he said after the second big suck. I feel so good. And his little body went so limp. Darling little thing. And he stayed there with this grin on his face. And they sewed him up. I remember carrying him out of the car park in my arms. And he's like a little rag doll. His little limbs were still flopping around. And he's saying, Poppy, look at the moon. And the star. Hallelujah. You know, it's wonderful. Oftentimes God wants to take us on this journey with Him, but we have to be willing to actually receive by faith what God wants to offer us. And sometimes we can go into all sorts of contortions as to convincing ourselves why we shouldn't receive what God wants to give us. For example, I don't think I'm good enough. Is anybody here good enough? No. In fact, there's a marvelous little verse that comes from Luke's gospel where he says concerning the giving of gifts, if then, though you are evil, speaking about parents, and yet you know how to give good gifts to your children, who knows how to give good gifts to their children and grandchildren? Of course, we love to spoil them. Of course we do. I love to give good gifts to my kids, especially my grandkids. I get a lot of pleasure. Listen to that. I get a lot of pleasure and a lot of joy in giving. It gives me great joy. It pleasures my heart to give. If you, being evil parents, know how to give good gifts to your children, listen to this. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Very simple now. In receiving, all you have to do is simply, the first thing is simply, as you relax, say, Father, thank you for giving me the Holy Spirit. This is a good gift. You're not going to get something that you didn't bargain for. He's going to give you a good gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit is a good gift for you. It pleasured the Father so much that He allowed His Son to be crucified, buried and raised from the dead, so that the resurrected Christ might send you the promised Holy Spirit, the power of God that indwells every believer who loves Jesus Christ, so that you might experience for yourself the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Some simple little ways in which we can kind of just relax as we say to the Father, Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to receive this gift. Jesus spoke at one time in John 7 how out of your innermost being will flow a river of living water. And Jesus was referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who was not yet given, but would be given when He ascended to the Father. That's in John 7, about verse 38. So Jesus refers to a river of living water flowing out of your innermost being. It's very interesting as we just relax and say to the Father, Lord, I receive from you. It's almost as if we're saying to the Father, just as Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit, we can at this point say, Father, I simply breathe in your presence. I breathe in your presence. Now that's something simple. Can we all do? Can we all breathe? Anybody here not breathing? This is a spiritual exercise I'm giving you now. I breathe in your presence. We could perhaps change the word from breathing to drinking. Father, I just drink in your presence. Oh, I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh. So what we're doing is, at this moment, we're inviting the Holy Spirit to come. In fact, I can sense that happening right now. Holy Spirit, moving in this place already. Just touching lives, touching lives. You're relaxing. You're allowing God to just come and touch you. You're saying, Lord, I want to receive from you. There's things that have been on my mind, that have been on my heart, that have stressed me out. But I just want to put that aside, Lord. I want to engage with you. I want to just breathe you in. I want to just allow your Holy Spirit to flow in me. And I'm going to do this just simply by relaxing and breathing in and receiving from you. Thank you, Lord. And as you do that, this brings us to the third R. Your response. Very interesting when, I love the story of Peter in the boat. It's a storm. Always seem to be stuck in a boat somewhere and storms brewing. And at this time, Jesus is not asleep in the boat. He's not even there. And they're doing a big panic because they think they're going to sink. And all of a sudden, they see someone out in the water walking towards them. How scary can that be? If you've ever been out on the ocean in a small boat, can you imagine someone walking along? Do you think that'd grab your attention? I tell you what, it'd grab my attention. And all of a sudden, it's kind of like a new focus. And Peter opens his big mouth. Lord, is it you? And Jesus replies to Peter, come. Oh, me? Come? But the interesting thing is this. His legs start moving. His hand hangs onto the rail of the boat. And he starts to do something. Here is his response. He starts to do something in faith. He starts to do something in faith. He puts his leg out over the side and he begins to walk toward Jesus. Oh. Forget about the fact that he sank a little bit later on. He's the only one who can say, I walk on water. The miracle isn't in the fact that he used his legs and his arms, but the miracle is that he used his faith to get going. Now, this is our response to resting in God and relaxing in him and allowing ourselves to say, Lord, I want to receive from you. I want those rivers of living water just to flow out of me. I want to worship you in a new and a fresh way. Lord, I'm due for a refreshing. I'm a candidate for refreshing. And for you, for the first time, if this has never happened, your response is this, that you, like Peter, in this instance, have lips and a tongue. And if you notice in Acts, it says, when the Holy Spirit came on them, they spoke the words as the Spirit gave them utterance. So it means, what's it saying is this, it means you're not a puppet. Oh Lord, I want you to the Holy, we want the Holy Spirit, and I want to be able to pray in this new language, but it's got to be all of you. No. God is already present. He's saying, now you take the step of faith. you respond by now beginning to pray and to speak. Now, for most folk, we know what our native tongue is. I mean, I'm looking at Far and Taps down there. They know what their native tongue, which is? Shona. Okay, so when I hear them out in the foyer chatting amongst themselves in Shona, I haven't got a clue. But they're just chatting away in their native tongue, so I don't understand what they're saying. But I hear them speaking in English, and straight away I know what they're talking about. When we pray with our understanding, we know what we're saying. Lord Jesus, I love you, I worship you, I just adore you. That's just wonderful. But then when we sense the presence of the Holy Spirit on us, and sometimes people feel, not all necessarily the same, they feel the presence of God welling up. I remember my father particularly after he was saved. He was standing in church alongside of me. He was singing a glorious hymn. And all of a sudden, his words were something like, "Amazing grace, how shall you my..." Oh, blah, blah, blah. And he looked at me and said, "What am I saying?" And he started off again in English, and then he started to drift off again in this funny language, and he started to get all frightened. Never experienced anything like this before. He said, "This is weird." He said, "I feel like I'm standing in a rising pool of water, and it's coming up my legs. It's coming up here." He didn't have a clue. I said, "Dad, you're being baptized in the Holy Spirit." So we went to this little room on the side, as we did in those days, and prayed with him, and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was already happening. It was already happening. So what happens is this then. What God is simply saying is this. Allow him to put words, sentences, phrases. This is very practical now. Words, sentences, phrases. Sometimes it might seem we're only saying the same word. Doesn't matter, just say it. Get used to hearing you say that. Because by doing that, you're simply stepping out in faith. And as you begin to say those words of praise and worship, they will develop and become a language in its own right. What we're going to do this morning is this. We've got people here this morning from the life groups who want to pray with you and minister with you. We're going to take time this morning. That's the purpose of this service, to pray with you so that you may be filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. I remember my 4 or 5 year old daughter coming into the office and said, "Daddy, I love Jesus and I want to give my heart to him." And she was real and genuine. I knew that God was working in her life. And I said, "Sure." I was on one side of the desk. She was on the other in a little chair. And she prayed a simple little sinner's prayer. And after she finished saying this prayer, she just burst out in tongues. Oh, wow. Worshipping God in the Spirit, held her little hands up and worshipped God, as young as that. As young as that. I've seen older people. For example, who've heard of Amanda Vanstone, Senator Amanda Vanstone? Who's heard of her? Okay, her dad, Roy. Out in Yamali, Kai Kai, wheat growing area. We prayed for him. He was very stoic, like a stoby pole, like a telegraph pole. Didn't want to show an expression in the old school. It was cross that God didn't fill him with the Holy Spirit. So there he is a few days later, out in his harvester. He's out there quietly relaxed. And all of a sudden, he senses the sweet presence of Jesus come into the cabin. And this dear old man gets out of his cab, kneels down in the wheat field, begins to worship Jesus, and just worships him in a new heavenly language, loving Jesus, worshiping him. Sometimes we have expectations of how it's going to happen, but all God wants us is to be sensitive to him and be willing to use a good old Aussie phrase, to have a go. Okay? You ready to have a go? Okay, have a go. All right, we're going to ask the musicians to come up now. And what I'm going to do is this. It's exactly 10:07. We're early this morning. You'll have time for your tea and coffee. But what I'm saying is this. If you want to stay on longer during the break, I've said to Pastor David, I'm more than happy to just stay here and pray with people so you can soak in the presence of God. Maybe there's a prophetic word for you this morning as you wait on God and you need to hear from God. And the Lord can speak a prophetic word into your spirit. But you're saying here this morning, you're sitting here this morning saying, Lord, I'm a candidate for you. I'm ready to relax. I'm just ready to relax. And I'm ready to receive. And I know how to respond to you. Because I'm going to respond by opening my mouth You're not going to force me. It's going to be an act of my will, and I'm going to worship you. And it's going to be stepping from my native tongue, English or Shona or whatever it is, into this new language that you have for me. And that's when the miracle takes place, because you're stepping now into a miracle. You're stepping now into the supernatural. And you can pray anytime you like in the Holy Ghost. Someone once said, concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's therapeutic. What I mean by therapeutic means you allows you to just simply relax again and allow the Holy Spirit to work and flow through you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you that you're an awesome God. We thank you, O God, for the many, many lives that have been impacted by you over the years. I thank you for the faithfulness of your servants, Lord, who faithfully labored for you. Lord, have not quit on you, have kept batting on for you. And Lord, I pray this morning that as they sit in their seats or whether they come forward, that this morning may be a re-engagement with you. In fact, Lord, a realignment with you. And Lord, out of this new alignment, realignment with you, will come a fresh word, a new direction, a new word that stirs their spirit within, that causes them again to say, Father, I know that I'm on track in my walk with you. So, Father God, as we worship you this morning, we thank you now for the corporate moving of your Holy Spirit, just as you did in Acts chapter 10 in the household of Cornelius, where the Holy Spirit fell on them as Peter preached the word. So, oh God, have your way amongst us this morning, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.